Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Jun Song. I'm a research scientist working for Agriculture, Agri-Food Canada, located in Kentville, Nova Scotia. So I just realized I'm second Canadian in this group, and now we travel together with me from Ontario East all the way to Nova Scotia. Today, I would like to talk about quantitative evaluation phenolic compounds and anthocyanins review the phenotypic variation in apples. And that is done by PhD students Yihui Gong and also Kendra McClure. And Mindy and Leslie will be the technician working for my group, and also collaboration with some other scientists, Dr. Li Hua Fan and Charles Forney. And also there's also the molecular geneticist, that is Sean Miles at Dalhousie University. So as the background information, most of you realize that is the apple fruit contains significant amount of phytochemicals, including the phenolic compounds, anthocyanins, and other compounds which have been well recognized as important bioactive compounds contribute to human health and well-being. Many phenolic compounds, including quercetin, epicatechin, catechin, fluorazine, chlorogenic acid, proanthocyanidins, are all well-known for antioxidant capacities. The biosynthesis of metabolic compounds in apples or plants in the fruit generally considered as secondary metabolism through the polypropanoid pathways. There has been also quite intensive biochemical analysis identify different group of phenolic compounds in apples already published. When look at the phytochemical compounds, phenolic compounds changing in apples, there have been great finding that there has been a variety, significant variation in apples. If you apply the post-harvest technique, the ethylene treatment, say storage, MCP treatment, inhibit ethylene actions, usually that don't have any effect on the phenolic compounds in general. So that's open the door. That's we need to look at the genetic variation in the phenolic compounds. I hope we can find a way for improvement. There has been already a few genetic approach published using QTL technology, that's the parental linkage mapping, already published by Khan and his group, and also some other group on the Verdo group from France working on the cider apples. So what we try to do here is working with the genetics together, we try to find a way to explore the potential genetic control mechanism of apple employing genome-wide association analysis. So just refresh our own memory, that is a phenolic compound pathway through that polypropanoid pathway, go to one single substrate, go into the pathway. However, there are quite a few branch points in the pathway. So on your left side, you see the orange color, the fluorazine components, we call the fluorazine-like compounds. On your right side, see the chlorogenic acid. So they're using different substrates, so they can further going down to the bottom three boxes through the quercetin, and then down the middle, the leucoanthocyanidin that can be served at the branch point for either catechin, epicatechin, procyanidin compounds, or also go to cyanidin, cyanidin glucose that will be for red color for apples. So keep in mind that the reason for this, I want to point out that there be a potential the competition between substrates. So if you try to enhance polyphenolic compound in apples, depending on which group you talk about. So maybe compromise, you're working on one group, maybe compromise to another group. So in terms of the genetic materials we have, in Kentville, Nova Scotia, we have been two populations to be available to us. One is a cultivar evaluation trial. It's planted by the industry probably about 12 years ago. That gives the industry the opportunity to evaluate the cultivar grown in Nova Scotia for the industry further to use. About 5 years ago, at Kentville Research Station, we also had the apple biodiversity collection. We call ABC population, contain about 800 cultivar accessions. So for this design of experiment, what we try to do that, we base on 144 cultivar from the city population, harvest in 1 year, that's 2015, and then we select the all the CET cultivars in the ABC population, harvest another year, serve another year of repeat. In that case, we do have two biological repeats in our study. So fruit was stored under 1 to 3 degrees for 1 month, and then the fruit were reviewed, evaluated, and sampled. All other quality parameters will be evaluated. We have five fruit peeled with flesh, will be sampled and put together. We're using the HPLC with a photodiode detector and also the fluorescent detector for the phenolic compound detection. As you can see, the general trends, we have all the standards available for us at 280 nanometers. Actually, for a diode detector, you can select a different wavelengths to have all the group of compound you have. So 280, 320, 360, 520 for anthocyanins. We also found one that very interesting in our work. If you look at that, the procyanidin, adican-cabiadican, epicatechin group, if you're using fluorescent detector, give you much better quantitative results. Just for fun, you can see that is a Honeycrisp apples. It's also very popular in Nova Scotia in Canada. That you can see that is a general profile of phenolic compounds. And the 29, the peak mark on the blue, that is a fluorescein. The fluorescein very, very minor amount in Honeycrisp apples. Usually this fluorescein apples mainly happens, you can see them in a russet apple. This 100 times more in russet apple than Honeycrisp. That's for fun, you can see. We're able to quantify 14 individual compounds, about six group compounds. Now look at the results. The quantitative variation of total phenolic compounds on your left side, that's the CET population. On the bottom, you will see the phenolics, hydrocyanamic acid, flavonols, total fluorescence response, and fluorescein-like. You can see the compounds among all the cultivars, 140 cultivars, they vary, can be 4 to 6 times in this compound, especially for total phenolic compounds. And very similar result you can see from that CET population in the ABC. That's repeatable. We can identify the compounds, also see the quantitative variations. If you look at the individual compounds, I'm using that CET 2015 as an example. The blue bar can vary quite a lot. Actually, there's a chlorogenic acid in apples. So it turned out to be a chlorogenic acid is the highest phenolic compound in apples, followed with epicatechin and also rutin. But you still can see that a huge variation among all the cultivars. It's repeatable that's in the CET population in the ABC. Talk about it as a pathway substrate computation. I want to show that this graph to show the relationship among the different group of phenolic compounds, how they are correlated to each other. As you can see, if you see the blue square, the dark purple square, which means they are positively correlated to each other. If you see the yellow and orange color one, you will see that's negatively correlated. Just pick one of the examples. For example, we can see the hydrocyanamic acid. On the second one, hydrocyanamic acid, certainly there is correlated with the one that's the nitrochlorogenic acid in the group, that's for sure. But if you move over to middle, you can see the hydrocyanamic acid will be negatively related with rutin, with other IV chlorine, and so on. Because that is a different pathway running from substrate one group to another. So I'm not a breeder, but working with breeder, I think that's a post-harvest we can do to help the breeders do the better phenotyping. So that's what we try to contribute that into collaboration. To learning this process, there has been the knowledge that we learned that usually for the apple breeding program, there has been published work called the quantitative trace loci. They're using the parental population, the offspring population from parents. Seem to be that a limitation that if you have very limited parental for the population variation of phenolic compounds, you don't have so much choice in your F1 populations. So there's some limitation, the resolution limitation, genetic variability captured, also cost maintaining the population for many, many years, allow you to have fruit, and then you kind of evaluate it. What we're trying to do now to using so-called genome-wide association studies, so we try to follow that genotype, phenotype association, try to detect large, diverse population of unrelated accessions. As you can see, I mentioned that ABC population of 800. So our goal is get 800 in the ABC population all phenotyped. But for this work, from 144-88, we try to give you a little bit of taste to see if you can do this or not using certain population. So by using GWAS analysis, your certain variable will increase a lot by the resolution and also potential detect causal polymorphism. So the beta will show you this kind of graph, this Manhattan plot when you run the GWAS. After the GWAS run, the apple have 17 chromosome. That is all the parameter you have laid out there. As you can see on the chromosome 16, we do see some hit on the total phenolic compounds. That is the safety accuracy 2015. Although they're also using the multi-year linear model to correct it, try to figure out what does the marker really mean. If you have a complex marker, they try to revise it, to study it, to locate a single marker. You see that's kind of a potential genetic control from on the genome, on the chromosome 16. If you further look at that, the total fluorescence response, this is a combined from the catechin, epicatechin, procyanidine, B1, C3, and so on, you see the sharp signal happen on the chromosome 16. And also, the, due to that, the modification that you also locate a marker contribute probably only singing one gene on the chromosome 16. So catechin, epicatechin also can be detected. So in this case, if I zoom that up again to the catechin, epicatechin, you can see on your right, the panel here, on the genome 16, we can go also very, very closely to the KBA level, to kilobase level, to see where the gene is. Actually, this is the leukyl isocyanidine reductase 1. It has been reported through the QTL mapping, but we're using the GWAS to confirm it. In our whole study from 14 individual compounds, we have 8 compounds already found this kind of genetic information in our study. But here, for example, I just show you that catechin, epicatechin. Well, as a conclusion, I would like to say a few words. That is, we saw the significant variation among phenolic compounds, among the cultivars and accession. And also, this study is the first maybe performed on the GWAS on phenolic compounds from quite a large population of apples. It revealed the potential genetic control mechanism of phytochemical phenolics and cyan compounds, provide genetic architecture for control of the metabolism for future breeding program. Our long-term goal is really to identify genetic marker of the genes. We're hoping that down the road in the future, we can further characterize this gene, maybe provide for genetic, not a modified, rather than, say, CRISPR technology, to use that technology to find a marker and for further improvement that improve our general phytochemicals. This genetic regulation shed a light on the biosynthesis pathway from post-harvest perspective, review the critical step in upstream pathways, substrate availability for overall improvement, overall disease resistance, nutrition value of apples. Thank you very much for your attention. Yes.
Very nice work.
Thank you.
So are you eventually post harvestation correlating which number is there? You have now quite a library of compounds and varieties, and then correlating that to the rounding potential of apples.
Yeah. Yes, the question is, we have a library for the compounds related to the browning of the compounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're establishing a library of phenolic compounds in apples.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you correlate, I mean, that and disease resistance, as you mentioned, and insect predation?
Yeah. Resistance. Yeah. That's a very good question. At this moment, I don't think I can see any other compounds related to the browning yet, because we look at the different mechanism for browning. One for superficial score, another one for general PPO-based browning. So, but we've surprised to find that in apple, the chlorogenic acid is high content in apples. Yeah, that may be serve in the future for targets. Yes. Yeah, in general. Oh, I think that I cannot say the Honeycrisp is very high. In general, talking about chlorogenic acid is quite high in apples. Yes. So you go down to the genetic control, that we can see that is a cultivar, maybe some. Right. So our study at this moment, all the fruit were harvest were healthy, commercial, close commercial ripeness after storage, and there are no diseases on the fruit. So in that case, I cannot link in that chlorogenic acid with any diseases resistant at this moment for this study.
So you mentioned you identified UTM chromosome 16, right?
Yeah. Yes.
What kind of polymorphisms do you find in the cyanidine synthesis?
Okay.
I mean, like, did you find enters, did you find substitutions, intergenic, introns? What kind of polymorphisms do you find?
Okay, the question is, what kind of polymers from procyanidins we found in our study? So at this moment, we're using the HPLC method, and we using standard. The standard what they have is the B1, C1, and C3. That's only three compounds we can evaluate it.
I'm asking about polymorphism. The polymorphism meaning?
Yes, at polymorphism, at this moment, we didn't see exactly the nucleotide change yet. It's not a resolution there yet, but we're getting close to that gene. I'm the last speaker for this post-HARVON session. I'll already make an announcement that pass for the Randy. The post-harvest business meeting for the post-harvest working group, whoever interested in post-harvest, and welcome to the post-harvest business meeting will be happens on Thursday afternoon, 4 to 5 p.m. in Oak Lawn Room. So again, Thursday afternoon, 4 to 5 p.m. in Oak Lawn Room for post-harvest business meeting. Everyone welcome. Thank you.